Hello, my loves. Today we're going to be talking about spiritual growth. I mean, what other kind is there? I'm interested in true reality progress. Let us begin with a true gifty code in our new tradition. This week's Prezi is for one of my books, for White Hot Truth. I'm giving you a discount code for the audio version or the ebook of White Hot Truth, Keeping It Real from One Seeker to Another. That would be from me to you. If you go to daniellelaporte.com/WHT, WHT, and you use the code POD109, you get $10 off the audio book. That's a savings of 15%. Okay, and then you know I have to put expiration dates and all these things. So that code is going to work up until 11:59 Pacific this Friday, April 19th. My podcasts always come out on the Wednesdays, so we're giving you a couple days to go use this. What do you want to know about White Hot Truth? Well, one of the heroes of my life, V, formerly known as E. Venzler, author of Small Phenomenon called The Vagina Monologues, said, Danielle Laporte's White Hot Truth comes straight from the messy, complicated world of authentic life experience. That's really true. And then she went on to add, and I'm going to give this to you. She, that would be me, is a force field of energy, wonder, humor, and love. The most important thing that I want you to know about that is the humor part. White Hot Truth is funny because I can be funny as fuck, especially when it comes to my new age antics. Guru Singh, also one of my dear beloveds, yoga and meditation master, said of White Hot Truth, I love real language. Communication without it is a diversion. I mean, this is the thing about Guru Singh. Even in a book endorsement, he turns it into a teachable. I also recognize real insight. It brings out your highest consciousness when you read it. It's the aha that ignites you. White Hot Truth has all of this and far more cover to cover. So, daniellelaporte.com/WHT. I think it's some of my best work, actually. Pod 109 at checkout, and you save $10. Come on, better than Audible. Okay, so speaking of spiritual antics, should we talk about some indicators that we are growing, spiritually speaking? One, you subscribe to With Love, Danielle, the podcast, because you know that that infuses the algorithm with the radiance of divine love. Okay. But really, number one, you forgive. We know that we are growing in a spiritual sense when we become more forgiving people. And forgiveness has breadth to it, right? So we can forgive the small stuff that in the olden days used to totally dysregulate our nervous system, or the egoing personality used to come up with all these reasons why that little thing was the red flag sign of all the bigger things that were wrong with the person and why they just weren't going to make the cut in our reality, on our team, in our life. Small stuff, teeny tiny red flags, it's okay. We can forgive. And that range also includes forgiving the other people who are just as imperfect, but maybe even more so sometimes than we are. Let me give you some extra thoughts here about forgiving. Forgiveness is our most natural inclination. People around you might try and talk you out of being forgiving. I've had that experience more than once. You should take them to court. You should not let that slide. This is like unacceptable. And, you know, that's our cultural deal, to retaliate, to assume the superior position. But what's love going to do? What's divine love, the pure stuff, going to do every single time? Forgive. We're actually designed to forgive. So spiritual growth is really, really about us embodying our true nature, right? And when we do that, we will lean towards the soul default and we'll just get over stuff and let it go. Let me read you something from my last book, How to Be Loving. Chapter 23, Forgiving. The heart is for, what's the heart for? The heart is for giving. The heart is forgiving. We are here to forgive. Forgiveness is humanity's wake-up call of the century. But rather inconveniently, we aren't very well trained in forgiveness. We're raised in punitive, justice-seeking paradigms and systems. Someone steals our lunch or puts a dent in our car, and all moral messaging would have us seek some kind of punishment for the perpetrator. Humiliate the doer of badness and acquire payback. Do it immediately and do it quite thoroughly. React and extract. Now, take a breath. So imagine if we were raised to respond to all transgressions, first and foremost, with forgiveness. How transformative would that be for the entire planet? Johnny stole my lunch. Well, he must have been hungry. Let's make an extra sandwich for him tomorrow. That kind of energy and embodiment, the planet would shift on its axis. What do you need to forgive within yourself? Gotta start there. The answer is everything. Who in your life can you forgive? The answer is everyone. So it might be easier to understand the concept of forgiveness if we use the term offering love. So you ask yourself, who's being vilified and demonized? Offer them love. Who has caused you hurt? Offer them love. Who continues to treat you poorly? Offer them love. So offering them love, forgiving, does not justify anyone's destructive behavior. It doesn't align you with any kind of wrongdoing. It doesn't feed the shadow side. Bringing a loving point of view to any situation, helps us see what's really going on. We can offer love to the worst among us. And when we do that, we'll come to a better understanding of the disease behind the harmful behavior. And we'll also become aware of the extent of change that's required to restore natural order. So when we're growing spiritually, we become more forgiving humans. Second on our list is that our virtues become our reference point. Which another way of saying that is that our soul qualities become the ground that we stand on. We become a stand for love. We ask ourselves, is this thought, this word, this action, this decision, this contract, this conversation, this purchase, this vote, this policy, is this loving kindness? Is this dignified? Is this inclusive? Is this forgiving? Is this compassionate? We have a reference point of virtue, of soulfulness, of love, and every single thing in our life gets measured up against that, and we will miss the mark. That is actually the definition of sin, to miss the target. We're going to slip. We're going to so-called sin, not one of my favorite words, all the time, and we're going to use that contrast as little nodes on our map of how to get back on track, of where we really want to go. We get off of track, we get a little out of integrity, a little less than a soul quality, and we go, oh, yep, back I go, choosing virtue again, because embodying, expressing that soulfulness feels like home, feels fun. It's invigorating, it's vibrant, it's joyous, even when the shit is hitting the fan. Okay, another indicator that we're making progress in our spirituality is, this one's so practical, you don't need to defend yourself after every argument, do ya? You realize, it dawns on you, that moving on would be so much more fun. It would be so much easier. That in the grand scheme, a lot of this stuff just does not matter. You don't actually need to be right. you don't actually have this intense, overwhelming desire that's going to skew your thinking and shift your relationship and have you hunker down in your opinions because you think you need to be accepted. You don't. You don't even need to be understood like you used to need to be understood for everything to seem to be going your way. You're good. You stand for love. You live in this space of loving kindness. You know who you are. You feel connected to something higher than yourself. Your ego isn't driving the show. Doesn't matter what everybody thinks about you. Yeah. You make the choice for harmony because harmony is a condition of healing. Harmony regulates your nervous system. Harmony is natural order. It's sanity. And you have become so much more sane, so much more discerning and wise and flexible. You don't need to defend yourself after every argument, just some. Okay, number four. You also do not have to go to everything that you're invited to. You see like these small, seemingly small lifestyle things that are actually signs of becoming a more heart-centered, soul-informed human being. You don't have to go to everything that you're invited to. You will naturally, eventually move away from inserting yourself, having to be at every event and gathering. This is one of the greatest indicators of your evolution. Your FOMO dissolves. Your fear of missing out is not the tail wagging your dog all the time. You're not worried about what people are going to say about you at the party. You are not so attached to how responsible or social or loving or leadership, like you're going to appear to other people if you are there. You are good to be not there. Okay. Number five, this is so practical and important. One indicator that you are growing spiritually is that you are much more in touch with your nervous system. So much more in touch with your nervous system. By the way, I have a beautiful program called Nourish System that is a holistic approach to regulating your nervous system. We look at the connection between your dysregulation and regulation and your relationships, and we take a more spiritual perspective on how you can come into center. When you're more in touch with your nervous system, because you become, you know, a more enlightened, aware being, you're going to be more mindful about the fluctuations in your body, in your mind. You will notice more quickly when you are moving into your default, and by default, I mean unconscious, your default stress reaction. And by reaction, I also mean unconscious. So you're going to notice like, whoa, I'm moving into fight or flight or freeze or fawn. And that is not regulation. That's wholeness. That's actually not, could we say, not spiritual. I mean, in the grand scheme, everything is spiritual, but that's not aligned with the soul qualities of peace and loving kindness to your own body, loving kindness in your tone, your speech, your action to yourself and others. So you will notice your emotionality. And by noticing it, as opposed to identifying with it, the emotions, the negative feelings in particular, are not going to take you under. And you're not going to have those false highs, because emotionality is not of the heart. It's that lower chakra stuff. It's the astral body stuff. It's the watery stuff. Hey, my love, before we go on, I have a question for you about your stress. I want to know all about it. More specifically, I would love for you to know all about it. A dysregulated nervous system looks like fighting and pushing against, flighting, just bailing and saying, I'm out of here, I can't take it anymore, and freezing and clamping down. So we created a beautiful metaphorical inquiry process where you can find out if you're the rhino Are you the pusher? Are you the tortoise? Are you the kind of clamor upper where you don't want to move and you've got all sorts of intellectual justifications why you should just stay put? Well, I have a little quiz with big breakthrough results. It's free, and it's about getting clear on your default stress reaction so that we can help you move into more of a heart-centered response to all the things that life throws at you, help you get into a regulated nervous system, which means all kinds of things, clear thinking, more harmonious relationships, better sleep at night, all the good things. It's quick, it's fun, it's deep. DanielleLaporte.com/stress quiz. Lots of people really digging it. DanielleLaporte.com/stress quiz. Get you too relaxed. All right, let's shift. I think when we evolve, we get a greater sense of responsibility. So on one hand, we get really clear that if we want to, quote, save the world, heal the world, let's say, heal is a much more powerful word. If we want to heal the world, what a noble aspiration, then the best thing we can do is heal ourselves. And we become more self-focused in a really healthy way. But at the same time, I think your sense of responsibility actually grows, because when we become more soul-aligned, more heart-centered, our awareness of interconnectedness to all beings intensifies. All children feel like our children. Your happiness is innately connected to my happiness. If you are suffering, I'm going to sense that suffering and I'm going to want to do something about it. My visions, my dreams, my desires include the question, will this bring harm or benefit to others? I mean, really, that one question is the difference between an egocentric desire or goal and a heart-centered vision. We want to pick up the garbage because that garbage affects everybody. We're concerned for the welfare of all beings. And I think good leadership is born out of this kind of love, a sense of responsibility that's rooted in interconnectedness. My prosperity can benefit you. My happiness should contribute to your happiness. Let me find a way for my abundance to contribute to your abundance. Your suffering is on my radar, and I want to do all that I can under conditions of healing to mitigate that suffering and amplify your joy. My sense of responsibility is growing and I love it. Number 7, your vulnerability becomes part of your power when you are evolving, when you are embodying more light. This is about intimacy. It's about the beauty, the power of honesty. This is about being more fully yourself, the dark parts and the light parts. You are not walled off. You are not hiding your flaws or your fears or your concerns so that you appear to have it all together, so that you actually appear to be more superior, more with it, more stronger. Moving into that space of having so-called seemingly less control actually allows for more life force, more prana, more chi to move into you. So you let the walls down. You loosen your grip on your personality constructs. You expand. You soften. We went into this a lot in the last podcast episode. Episode number 108, which was all about softening, being the lever for our true power. And this is really a sister philosophy of that, that your vulnerability becomes part of your power. When you're in that vulnerable space of openness and of authenticity, then more life force is going to move through you, and you are going to emanate that light quality everywhere you go, not just in meetings. You're going to show up brighter in meetings. You're going to show up brighter and more radiant, wiser, more inclusive with the homeless person that you're giving some bucks to. You are going to be more discerning and wise and inspiring with whoever you're sitting next to at the holiday dinner that you used to never relate to. You know, you're going to be telling the truth responsibly. It's powerful. Vulnerability becomes part of your power when you are becoming more heart-centered. And then number 8 on this list, lastly but not leastly, is that even a word, leastly? When you're growing spiritually, you're going to very naturally become more modest. Let me give you the definition of modest. Unassuming in the estimation of one's abilities or achievements. Unassuming about what you can do and what you got done before. Not large, not elaborate, not expensive. Modest. Dressing or behaving so as to avoid impropriety or indecency, especially to avoid attracting sexual attention. This is typically used, obviously, with women. Not revealing or emphasizing a person's body. Okay, so the summation: not showy, not flamboyant, not aggrandizing. What does that kind of behavior do? It creates a lot of division. Aggrandizement, over-talking what you've done in the past, showboating about one's abilities can be really polarizing because it says, look at everything I've done that you haven't done. Look how great I am. I mean, there's a time and place for that when you need to tell your stories of success and accomplishment as the roadmap to help other people to do the same if they're inspired to, you know, kind of do that dance. But modesty as the fruit of your spiritual labor, modesty is flexibility. Modesty is softness, which is the true power. Modesty equalizes and it opens. So just stay with that energy for a minute. When you've got equalized, opening, inclusive, neutralizing vibration, what do you have? Magnetism. And then we keep in mind that like energy attracts like energy. So when we become more modest as the natural outgrowth of us being more heart-centered, more frequently in conversation, receptive to higher guidance, to loving kindness. That modesty creates a stronger attraction to people of like nature. So we will magnetize into our lives people that are forgiving, that embody loving kindness and resilience and wisdom. We will magnetize to us other people who do not need to defend themselves after every argument. They also don't need to drag us to everything that they got invited to. They are in touch with their nervous systems. They are regulated. We know who we're dealing with. They're not going to go into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn when we have uncomfortable interactions. Peaceful. They feel a healthy sense of responsibility for our happiness and success. They're cheering us on, and they want to do whatever they can within the realm of their power to help further us reaching our higher desires. They're vulnerable with us. They're not walled off. They aren't hiding their flaws, their fears, or their concerns. They don't need to appear superior in order to lead us. Life force is flowing through them and emanating toward us. And all this comes from us being in our natural state of modesty, creating a magnetism to other people who are also growing spiritually. And then we party. So in review, Or I should say, in a nutshell, it's all progress. It's not a race. And actually, it's all spiritual. All right, my loves, thank you for listening to the very end of this podcast recording. It helps us lift the algorithm with some consciousness. If you want to hang out with some more people of like mind who are committed to spiritual growth, DanielleLaporte.com/membership. My heart-centered membership has a life track where we are talking about body, mind, and spirit support. I'm doing a workshop that is also an audiobook at the beginning of every month that I am pouring my heart and soul into, working with VS, who is our resident metaphysical practitioner who I've been working with for 8 years, creating the visualizations, the practices, and the core metaphysical teachings that run through every workshop. And we also have a business track under the heart-centered membership where we are throwing down twice a month with myself and my leadership team about how to run soul-centered businesses where we are marketing in integrity, where we are infusing the algorithm with light, and we're building teams based on our humanity, based on our modesty, based on our spiritual aspiration and growth. The membership is such a beautiful refuge. And much to my surprise, I have fallen deeply in love with this offering. My Thursdays, where we do most of our workshops and creative sessions, have become my favorite day of the month. And if you're new here and you want to start somewhere, White Hot Truth audiobook, it's on sale. Head to DanielleLaporte.com/WHT and then use this code at checkout, POD109, POD109, and you get $10 off of the audiobook or the ebook. It's 6 hours and I'm pretty funny in a spiritual way. I am so glad you're here and that I'm not just talking into an empty microphone. I am grateful for community, for all of us who are devoted to spiritual growth, for all of us who are committed to finding the indicators of spiritual growth, to the grime and the growth and the grievances and all of the chaos that's happening on the planet. May we embody the sanity in the kooky pants. May we be the loving kindness at every table. And may I see you here next Wednesday, every Wednesday, for the next edition of With Love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word. With love.